I wonder, can God inconvenience us? Can God inconvenience you? Can our hearts be open enough for God just to drop into our head and our heart that someone's not looking very happy this morning? And, buddy, I've got to rush off. I've got to get home. But 5 minutes. Go give them a hug. Go be the gift. Go pray for them. Go encourage them. Then you discover they're not looking happy because they're short of something and you have the means to supply what they need. And before you know it, you've been the gift. But it was an inconvenience. Take pity. Do something about it. Get alongside someone and help their wounds heal. There's so much in that picture of somebody who was willing to step out of his comfort zone, outside of his box, spend his money and his time on looking after someone just for a few minutes. Some years ago, in the church I was involved in leading, we did a thing we called the 15-minute revolution. The idea simply was, would you be allowed to let God interrupt your day for 15 minutes? And it was kind of, if you are, then, you know, be sensitive to the Spirit. So you may be at the cash till paying and you get chatting to someone, but I've got to rush off, but linger. You find yourself sat on a bus next to someone and you need to get off and linger. Allow God to make you the gift to that person's environment. And we said to the church at the time, you know, when you have those little experiences, it's an encouragement to everyone else. Send an email in. Send in a card. Let us know. And we started stories coming in of people who were just learning to live, willing to be inconvenienced so that they could be the gift and bring a little bit of heaven to earth each day. I want to encourage you to do the same. As you're being the gift, take your cards with you. Stick them in your bag. Put them in your Bible. If you lose your card, then email in. Let us know. Tell us the stories of how you've had the possibility, the joy of just being the gift. Don't think, well, I can only send a card if it's really dramatic. I mean, if there is a Samaritan, if there's someone in a ditch and I do have to spend all my money and cross the road, then I'll send it in. It only has to be simple. It's the simple things that bring heaven to earth daily. But some of it never happens unless I'm willing to be inconvenienced. So let's be the gift by willing to be inconvenienced. Here's a second way we can be the gift. We can be the gift by restoring a lost relationship. Now, sometimes it's not about stuff. It's not about, well, I can only repair this damaged relationship, or I can only make things better if I spend a lot of money, if I somehow reimburse them for the hurt I caused them. Well, relationships get damaged. Our relationships suffer. Relationships drift. And there's a need to repair them, just rebuild them, restore them in a way which your willingness to do so makes you the gift. Here's the example that came to my mind as I was thinking about this. Luke 15, verse 17. You all know this chap. He's called the prodigal son. And he had taken his inheritance from his father. He'd gone off and pretty much blown it on partying, wild living, been unwise with it. He'd not been on a cat money course. No, he'd not got it all down. And then when he'd run out of money, he realized, what an idiot I've been. I've been immature. I've been unwise. And in the process, I've offended my father and my family. Oh my, what a mess I'm in. And it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and I'll go back to my father and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him like you would, wouldn't you? The son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and he's alive again. He was lost, and now he's found. So they began to celebrate. That prodigal son was the gift to his family. I'm sure he didn't think of it that way at the time. He was sort of, you know, crawling back on bended knees, groveling and saying, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. But actually, the compassion in the heart of the father was, you have made our Christmas. You've made our day. You've lightened our life. You've restructured the family. We've restored what has been lost. What was dead is now alive. What was lost has been found. And a relationship they all thought was dead is now resurrected. Yeah. I don't know, maybe you've sinned against your natural or your spiritual family. Or maybe they've sinned against you. Maybe there's been tension. Maybe there's been abuse. Maybe there's been things that shouldn't have happened. My challenge is, will you be the gift that restores lost love? Will you be the gift that restores lost relationship? Someone has got to have the courage to say, sorry, forgive me, I'm back. Yeah, sometimes we have to grovel like he had to do. But you'll be surprised. The love, the joy, the light that you can bring by being willing to be the gift that restores lost hope and relationship. Being willing to serve our family and friends again. I was thinking, how do I illustrate this? And my mind went to Long Lost Family, or that program on the telly. Some of you probably watch, we like that sort of stuff. And people have been estranged for years, and they manage to find these estranged people and bring them back together, and it's always moving, and it's awesome. And then I was chatting this week to Claire Thornton. She told me her story. I thought, that's my illustration. Claire, come and join me. She should be there. Here she is. Tell them your story.
Hi, guys. Right, just want to share a story about a personal story with what happened with my family back in 2007. I was very, very close to both my mum and my dad. And basically, my parents split up in 2007. And I felt as though my whole world was falling apart at the time. I did have a very, very close relationship with my dad. You know, we did so much together. We laughed, we cried, we went out and, you know, had a good time. And then in January 2007, my dad turned up on my doorstep and he said, I'm leaving your mum, basically. He said, I had a 2.5-year affair with this particular lady, and that was it. I absolutely broke down, and I just said, get out of my house. I don't want to know you anymore, and that was it. 10 years later, I still didn't want to know him. He said, you know, he sent me letters, he sent me cards, he sent me money. They went in the bin, the money was banked. I didn't want to know him at all. And then it was a couple of years ago now, and I was really, really challenged by a friend, and my mum as well, believe it or not, and she just said, have you heard from your dad? And I said, yeah, I have heard from him. I don't want to know him. You know, he split up the family. I don't want to know anything else about him. So she said, maybe contact him. We're like, nope, still don't want to know him. Anyway, it was 2 years ago, and it was the day before Remembrance Sunday, and I was in Asda in Goulburn, only a small little, supermarket. And I walked in, the day before, should I say, on the Friday, I felt a massive, massive urge. God told me, you know, put my dad on my heart. And I was like, God, what are you doing? Why is he suddenly coming into me, you know, why are you suddenly bringing him back into my life? And I was really, really battling with this. So I prayed about it and I said, God, you know, why are you doing this? So anyway, going back to the Asda, went into Asda and I walked in. And right in the entrance, and I thought, oh, I need a poppy, with it being the day before Remembrance Sunday. So I walked back in, bought a poppy, went back in to go into the supermarket. And then I thought, I need a basket. So I went out, turned around to get a basket, and there stood my dad. So I was just like, hello. It was one of them moments. And I was just like, God, why are you challenging me about this? And it was just like really, really tugging on the heart. And he was just like, hello, Claire, you know, like proper, really formal. And I went, oh, yeah, you're all right. So I'm just, you know, chatting. He was asking me how things were. And God was really, 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 you know, speaking to me. He just said, be normal with him. You know, no matter what, be normal with him. And he said to me, Sue's in the supermarket now. Sue's his now wife, who was a very, very close family friend. And he said, if you see her in the supermarket, don't ignore her. She's not an ogre. All right, and that was her exact word. So I said, right, come on, let's go and say hello to her. So I walked in the supermarket and we found her. And I just literally put my arms around them both. Put my arms around them both and I said, hiya, how are you doing? And it was just that moment God said to me, you know, you need to build that relationship back up. So I did. And, you know, slowly, you know, went round his house, had, you know, something to eat and slowly built it up. And in February this year, Ben spoke on stage about letting go. Letting go and moving on. And I was sat at the back of church and God was just like really massively, massively tugging on my heart. And all one word that was coming through my head was forgiveness. Yeah. And I was just like, God, why are you doing this to me? Why are you doing this to me? And it was just like really, really battling. So I texted two very, very close friends of mine and I just said, I need to pray about this straight after the, straight after the gathering. And we sat down at the front, down there, right at the end, and I just literally, absolutely broke my heart out. And I was just like, you've got to forgive him. You know, God absolutely challenged me about this. But someone said to me, said, to forgive your dad, you first of all have to forgive yourself. And I was like, whoa. So it was just like, yeah, I forgive you, dad, for all the wrong you've done, for all the, you know, all the hurt, all the pain you've caused. And then I was just like, I forgive you, Dad. I really, really do. And since then, I see my dad now every single week, you know, without fail. And it's that love that's been brought back up again, you know, that you know, compassion within. And, you know, just being the gift, just being there for him. I have a brother and a sister, and they don't want to know, you know, they don't want to know my dad. But I've heard, you know, his side of the story again now. And, you know, it's just growing that love, growing that compassion up. And I just want to encourage, I wasn't going to say this, but I am doing it. I just want to encourage anyone, if you ever have a broken relationship like that, you know, just speak to God about it. You know, let him challenge you. Yeah. And I promise you, you know, it will work out in the end. So thank you. That's my story.
Thanks, Claire. Bless you, love.
Thank you.
There you have a living example of someone who is willing to be the gift back to her dad, and the new family and so on. I think that's awesome. Being the gift. Are we willing to be the gift that will restore lost relationships? Are we willing to be the gift that requires inconvenience? Here's a third way you can be the gift. By simply meeting a practical need. You know, I know we've said a lot about, you know, it's the gift isn't the gift, it's you that's the gift. But I read this in Philippians as I was thinking about today. In chapter 4 it says, moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Then jump down to verse 18. He says, I am now amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gift you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs too according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Paul is celebrating the fact that a church stood by him and gave him support consistently. And I thought to myself, what is the gift in this story? Was it the money they sent him? Or was it the Philippian church? And I think if we got Apostle Paul up here and said, hey, Paul, what was the gift? He just said, that Philippian church were the gift of God to me. They were the gift. And I get thinking about us as a church. Well, we do stuff. We give hampers out and we give practical aid and we do things. But our intent is that eventually people realize that church is a gift to this community. That church is a gift to my life, to my family. Because what we can do together to be the gift, though it's expressed as practical help here and there, we want the church to, the people to realize we're just a large-hearted, compassionate people who want to be the gift that brings heaven to earth. It's not about the box of chocolates. It's not about the bunch of flowers. No, we want to be the gift that continues to give and continues to be far greater than just the tangible thing you pass on. How many of you have got a compassion child? Put your hand up if you've got a compassion child. Yeah, lots of us. Okay. Think about it. Is your £25 a month the gift? I would say no, it isn't. You're the gift. Got to think of it that way. You ask the child, they'll say, my sponsor is a gift from God to me. The people are the gift. It's the heart it comes from. And that's why we've not got to beat ourselves up. Oh, I can't afford to give anything. Yeah, you can. Because it's not about the thing, it's about you. You can be the gift. It might be materially a small thing. It might be tangibly, seemingly insignificant. But you're the gift. It's the heart of compassion it comes from. It's the desire to be the vehicle that brings the life of heaven to earth that makes it such a wonderful gift. Be the real gift. Because the real gift is the giver, not the physical gift itself at one level. You've all had rubbish gifts for Christmas, right? Some people have a drawer where they put all the rubbish gifts every year and sort of give them out again next year. Don't do that. The point is, if somebody gives you a gift and you think, I've already got three of those, or it's not my color or whatever, you still receive it. And it's not about the gift. Your gratitude is, they did think of us. They took time to consider. They spent money. They brought it round. The person is the gift. It's the heart it comes from that makes it really resound and be precious. That's why we want you to catch this whole thought of being the gift. It's not about the stuff. It's about the heart it comes from, and that's what changes lives and environments. So maybe you can be the gift by being willing to be inconvenienced, by restoring a lost relationship, by meeting a specific need personally or corporately. Lastly, I had this thought. You can actually be the gift by just being present. There are times when the only gift that's needed is your presence. Just being there. In 1 Samuel 23, we read about Jonathan and David. It says this, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. So he's hiding for his life. And Saul's son Jonathan went to David at Horesh and helped him find strength in God. Beautiful phrase that. Here you've got somebody in need, under pressure, on the run, and his mate comes to see him. He probably had to search hard to find him because he was on the run. And he came just to be with him, and he helped him find strength in God. You know, there are times in life when just being there is enough. It's not a quick fix. It's not a gift. It's not the word. It's just being there. And I think Jonathan gave David the gift of his presence and helps him find strength in God. The similar thing you see in the New Testament, in Timothy, Paul writes this. He says, you know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. You have to understand this is toward the end of Paul's life. He's in a very difficult situation, and people are starting to peel off from him. He says, including Philegius and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. So now we realize those who've deserted him are maybe a bit ashamed of Paul's chains. Don't want to be associated with the guy who, you know, the authorities don't like him. He says, on the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he'll find mercy from the Lord on that day, because you all know very well how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. This guy, Onesiphorus, was the gift to Paul when everybody else deserted him. Love it. It seems that others were ashamed to associate with Paul because of his chains, but not this guy. He'd been there with him in Ephesus when Paul's ministry was riding high and he was the flavor of the month and everybody wanted to be associated with the mighty apostle Paul. Now his situation was a bit different, but this guy was his friend. This guy remembered the investment of life into him. And he just said, I'm sticking with Paul. And he stuck with him. He even had to go the extra mile by searching hard and finding him just so he could refresh him. He says, Onesiphorus, may the Lord show mercy on him because he often refreshed me. Some people are like that, aren't they? Some people, you just need to meet them. And they refresh you. The love, the encouragement, the friendship just comes off them. And they don't need to bring a gift. If they bring a bunch of flowers, nice, you just stick them in a vase, but you're just refreshed by them. It's their presence. And I want to encourage you, we can all be that kind of gift. We can be the present just by being there. Not to do anything, bring anything, say anything, just be there, help people find strength in God. Now, when tragedies happen, sometimes stuff happens to people in life, and you can't buy a bunch of flowers big enough to deal with tragedy. You can't find words to even articulate, or you can't say things like, I know how you feel, because you don't know how they feel, and you know you don't know. All you can be is there. And there's something precious about a friend, another human being, somebody from church just coming and being there with you at certain times. Being there just to refresh you. Being there to help you find strength in God. It's a precious, precious thing. Now, we had a family situation some years ago which made us feel bad. We were working some stuff through and felt a little bit like not everybody wanted to know us in quite the way they had done before. And one day, some friends of ours turned up on the doorstep. They'd got on a plane, flown from Belfast to Bingley, turned up on our doorstep, opened the door, and it was like, yay! We've just come to see you. It's one of my special memories in life. As that couple as friends, they're in our hearts forever. Why? Because they gave us the gift of just their presence. And, you know, they didn't even want to stay with us. They booked themselves in a hotel down the road. It was kind of, we don't want to impinge, we don't want to put on you, but we're here for you. We can all do that. We can all have friends, people who'll go the extra mile. You can be it. And I want to encourage you, being the gift is, yeah, being willing to be inconvenienced, being willing to restore a lost relationship, being to actually be the channel of a practical need, but sometimes it's just about being there. Ask God to lead you, to show you people where you can just get alongside them and there's that word of refreshing. Help them find strength in God. Just be present. Now, we've all been called and chosen, redeemed, and then sent into this world to be the gift, to play our part just like Jesus did. Now, when we think about Jesus, he was the ultimate gift to us, wasn't he? He was certainly inconvenienced. He didn't have to stoop from heaven to earth. He didn't have to break his heavenly divine schedules. He was inconvenienced, and he came and he gave help to a stranger, you and me. He brought help, healing, restoration, and he paid the price for it, as Chevy said earlier. Yes, salvation's a free gift, but it cost him. Jesus was the ultimate one who's willing to be the gift through inconvenience and sacrifice. Like the prodigal, Jesus also was the gift that restored lost relationships. We were lost. We were separated from God. We couldn't fix it. And Jesus came to say, come on. You can be related again. I can make a way for you to be back into full, meaningful relationship with God. So here we sit today, many of us feeling welcomed back into his eternal family. Fabulous. He also met practical needs. Jesus meets my practical needs. He's incredible. You know, sometimes I say, well, doesn't your salary meet your needs? Or doesn't a practical... No, God's my source. If we learned anything last month when we did the Freedom Series, it must be God's your source. He's the one that meets your needs. All things flow from him to us. Jesus is so good. He was the gift, willing to be inconvenienced, willing to restore my lost relationship with the Father. He now meets my practical needs so that I can serve him effectively. But best of all, he's present. He's here. He never leaves me. He never forsakes me. Oh, yeah, it's wonderful when human friends come and they're just there for you when you need them. But never forget, once you have Jesus with you, he is the friend who never leaves. He's the consistent gift who never goes away. Now, it takes a strong decision to be the gift, like we're describing. Can be inconvenient, can be costly. Sometimes it can involve loss of reputation or sacrifice. But if Jesus could be the gift for us, why can't we be the gift to others as an expression of the gift we've received? And just keep bringing heaven to earth. So let's keep the momentum moving, changing lives, changing environments, so we extend God's kingdom in this place. Just close your eyes, and I'm going to pray and hand on to Chevy. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in us, Lord, and through us, Lord, as we willingly live to be the gift today. Amen. God bless you.